The reason I have spent the last 5 weeks talking about hearing the voice of our rabbi is because Jesus said these words, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Hearing is essential to following. You do not spend time with someone that you do not communicate with. So we're closing this series up today about the possibility that we can live a life of constant communication with God. Or at least that's the ideal. So an elderly, weak voice calls Methodist Hospital downtown. The operator picks up the phone. "How can I help you?" "Well, I was wondering if I could find out how a patient of yours is doing." "Of course. Do you know the name?" "Yes. Her name is Norma Finley, and she's in room 302. The operator said to the weak, older voice, "You just be patient. Let me go check with the nurse's station. I'll get right back with you." A couple minutes later, "Are you still there?" "Yes, I am. I've got good news. Norma's doing well. Her vital signs are strong. Her blood work came back good. In fact, Dr. Cohen is going to release her tomorrow. So things are on the upswing." The older woman said, "Oh, I am so glad to hear that. I was so worried. God bless you." The operator said, "Well, I'm so glad that I could help. Is Norma your daughter?" And the voice said, "No, I'm Norma Finley in room 302. Nobody tells me anything around here." It's always encouraging when you get a word that you fervently wanted to receive, which means it's also discouraging when that word that you desperately wanted to hear never seems to come. And that is especially true when the word that you're seeking is from the Lord. Have you ever felt like God was giving you the silent treatment? That maybe the Almighty has decided to unfollow you? If that's the case, today's sermon is for you. So I want to close this series saying something to those of you who feel like you're hearing nothing. And the first thing I want to say is that God doesn't always have something to say. God does not speak all the time. And maybe two thoughts will encourage you as we begin. One is that if you are wrestling with the silence of God, the very struggle says something very good about your faith. You would not struggle with the silence of God if you didn't believe there was a God, or if you didn't think that he was a good God. The very fact that you are wrestling says something good about your faith. Maybe it would also be a comfort for you to know that if that is the road that you are on currently, it is a very well-traveled road. A lot of people have been on this road. In fact, this road is so populated that the scripture gives us worship language about it. It gives us a voice when we're wrestling with the absence of God's voice. I mean, what kind of God is this that gives us language in the scripture to talk to him when we're not hearing from him? Psalm 13, verse 1 says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Have you ever felt like that? There's another song. It's even better known. It's number 22 in the Hebrew hymnal. my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you don't answer. By night, but I find no rest. Notice the worshiper's complaint is not that God can't hear him. His complaint is that he can't hear God. And this is the cry of the faith of many of the heroes in our Bible, who themselves wrestled with the silence of God, like Job, like Joseph, like Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And in none of those cases was God disciplining his servants. At no time did he withhold his love, even though he withheld his voice for a time. And so one idea that maybe you and I need to latch on to as we begin is this, write it down, that God's silence does not mean his absence. Now, when you cannot hear a sound, that does not mean that God is not around. In fact, instead of talking about the silence of God, maybe it would help if we referred to the muted presence of God. That God is near. That God is with us right now. But he's not saying anything. And we are all going to have those seasons. They should be expected. But they also should be inspected. And so what I want to do to close this series is to give you 5 questions that are worth asking when it doesn't seem like God is answering. Now, the first 3 are in some ways reviews of what we've already talked about in this series. And here is the first. Write it down. Am I even expecting to hear from God? And I shared with you for the first half of my life, I did not expect to hear from God. I grew up thinking that all God had to say anymore, he had already put in the Bible. And even though I had a very high view of the Bible, I had a very low expectation that I might encounter the living God when I'm reading the Bible. But the good news is I kept reading the Bible. And as I read more and more, I saw the scriptures actually reveal a God that was eager to speak. And a God who delights in those who are eager to seek. Now, you probably shouldn't rank Bible verses. But if you did, I think this one probably should be near the top. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The first part of that verse says, without faith, no one can please God. And I want to stop and kind of hold that one right there because it's very, very heavy. You can't please God without faith. And not just any kind of faith. What kind of faith is it that actually pleases God? Well, that's where you need to keep reading this verse. It says, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The faith that pleases God believes that he exists and believes that he is good. He's a good God. He's a God that responds to those that are wanting to find him. You don't listen to people that you don't think will speak. You don't stay in a relationship with someone you think will never respond to you. Understand this is a blessing that you can receive, and it is a blessing that you can improve. Again, Jesus said those words, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Shannon and I have been to Israel. We've been in the lands of the Middle East, and there are places there where at night, many shepherds literally bring all their individual flocks into one huge herd of sheep together for the night. And in the morning, the individual shepherds stand up and they make these calls out to their sheep, you know, whatever. And the sheep start leaving that big herd of flock to follow the call, the voice of their individual shepherd, because they know the voice of their shepherd. Now, a little lamb doesn't know his voice. And a little lamb actually has to learn his voice. And that's where some of you are right now. You're just beginning to learn to hear your God. So keep it up. A pastor's job is not to hear God for you. A pastor's job is to equip you to hear God. So keep doing the things that we have talked about in this series. Go back if you need to. Listen to the sermons again. You can improve your hearing, and it all begins with expecting to be able to hear from God. But know that that expectation comes with some other expectations. So before I share the second question, let me just say, I think of all the questions, this one probably is the one that applies to you and me the most. This is the biggest reason that you and I struggle to hear God. Here's the question. Am I too distracted to listen well? When you are not hearing from God, it could be that the busy signal's on your end. Because listening is not a foregone conclusion. Listening is an intentional decision. I don't know if this is a true story. I've literally heard this from other preachers. I suspect it is, but I don't know for sure. The White House, they always have the state dinners where big dignitaries come in and there's a line and the president and his wife will stand there and shake hands and greet all the dignitaries. As they go to these state dinners, people just flow by. Back during the Franklin Roosevelt tenure, he made it known he hated these dinners. Literally, he's quoted as saying, they're a waste of time. No one listens as I stand there and they come through these long lines. So one night he decided to have a little fun at one of these dinners, state dinners, and he decided to just mumble. As people would walk by and he'd shake their hands. And he mumbled these words. I murdered my grandmother this morning. And people would say, great job, Mr. President. Keep it up, Mr. President. We're behind you, Mr. President. Until the ambassador from Bolivia came. And Roosevelt mumbled, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And the ambassador paused and he kind of leaned in and he said, Mr. President, I'm sure she had it coming. If the enemy cannot entice you to be wicked, he will settle for encouraging you to be distracted. Jesus told that great parable about how God is just this sower that extravagantly throws the seed out, which is his word, and he throws it everywhere. But often it does not get received well. And he says in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And they do not mature. Thorns are literally just weeds. And they are anything that's choking the word of God out of your life. Now, some of you garden and some of you are pretty good at it. And you know it takes no effort whatsoever to grow a weed. You just have to neglect it. And it grows. And so Jesus says that's exactly how life works. If you are not intentional, life will begin to choke your capacity to be able to hear the word of God. worries, riches, and pleasures. And I am not surprised that he said worries. Living in a constant state of fear is going to incapacitate your ability to hear from God. But he said riches and pleasures. And I had to meditate on that a little bit. And I had this thought. Could it be that our wealth, and let's just be very transparent, we are as affluent as any society that has ever walked the face of this earth. Could it be that our wealth affords us the toys and the privileges that create so much ambient noise in our lives that we can't even hear from God anymore? We have the capacity now to make sure we never have to live with any quiet. In fact, what the ancients would refer to as silence and solitude, we call boredom. And we spend money to make sure we never have to deal with that. Back in the 1980s, they were studying the test scores of this elementary school in Manhattan. They could not understand why one side of the building where there was these children, they were 11 months behind the same age group of these kids that were on the other side of the building until they realized this one side of the building was right next to the elevated train. And the constant exposure to background noise was interfering with their capacity to hear. And so when the transit system then was imposed upon to put noise-abating equipment on the downtown areas by those tracks, those test scores immediately began to improve in those children in that school. Jesus understood this. If anyone ever lived that could stay connected to God and put up with all the constant rush and noise of life, it should have been Jesus. But he did not. He constantly made time to get out into a quiet place and just be with God. Now, if creating time and space for God was the consistent practice of Jesus, shouldn't that be a priority for those who say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. I want to do what Jesus did. Those that never make room for God should never be surprised if it feels like God is never in the room. And so if you're not hearing God right now, it might not be because God is silent. It might be because your life is just too loud. Are you too distracted to hear the Lord very often? Next question. Am I ignoring his word in another area of my life? God does not feel obligated to respond to rebels. We asked this question last time. Why should we expect revelation from God when we won't give consecration to God? You remember King Saul? He started well. He did not end well. He became so full of pride and even fear, he turned his back on God. Late in his life, he's facing a big battle and he's afraid. And it says this in 1 Samuel 28, verse 6. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. This is a principle we see in Scripture. God is under no obligation to send dreams or prophetic words or impressions of the Holy Spirit to people who choose to live out of line with his will. Another example is found in Ezekiel chapter 14, Next slide, sorry about that. Ezekiel 14, the first three verses say this. Then some of the leaders of Israel visited me, and while they were sitting with me, this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, these leaders have set up idols in their hearts. They have embraced things that will make them fall into sin. Why should I listen to their requests? Now that's speaking right into some of your lives right now. So let's be very clear. Stop thinking that you can blatantly stiff-arm God in one part of your life and expect a blessing from God in another part of your life. Perhaps some of us are not hearing from God because he's already told us what he wants us to do. And until we obey what God has already said, you should not expect him to say anything more. And I'm not saying this is the only reason that God might be silent. I'm saying it could be a reason. And checking our hearing should always begin with examining our hearts. And sometimes that examination reveals that our hearts are more divided than we realized before. So let me close with two more questions. We have not talked about this a lot, but this might explain the muted presence of God. Here's one of the questions I want you to consider. Am I only wanting to listen for what I want to hear? What if what you want God to say is not the thing you need God to say? Some only want to hear God if he says what they want to hear. They're selective listeners, wanting to only hear what applies to their agenda rather than God's agenda. Way before my time as a successful comedy team, George Burns, Gracie Allen, she plays this character in their skits and their routines where she wasn't very bright, although she was actually a very brilliant comic. And in one of the routines, she would explain, she had called a repairman to come to her home to fix their electric clock. And when the repairman arrived, he said, ma'am, there's nothing wrong with the clock. You just don't have it plugged in. And she would say, well, I'm trying to save electricity. I only plug it in when I want to know what time it is. How many of you only tune in to God when you need something from him? Dallas Willard speaks to this with great wisdom. He writes these words, the doleful reality is that very few human beings really do desire to hear what God has to say to them. And this is shown by how rarely we listen for his voice when we're not in trouble or when we're not being faced with a decision that we don't know how to handle. People who understand and warmly desire to hear God's voice will, by contrast, want to hear it when life is uneventful, just as much as they want to hear it when they're facing big trouble or big decisions. This is a test, and we should apply this to ourselves as we go in search of God's word. Do we seek it only under uncomfortable circumstances? Our answer may reveal that our failure to hear his voice when we want is due to the fact that we do not, in general, want to hear his voice. That we want it only when we think we need it. So we've already seen that it is impossible to please God without faith. And I think we would all agree that God wants to grow our faith, to make our faith more strong and more pure. So hear this very carefully. This is very important. Faith can only mature during those seasons where I have decided that I need to hear God even when I'm not getting what I want? Can your faith mature when everything in life is going just like you want it to go? When every prayer is answered just like you want it to be answered? And there's really nothing in your foreseeable future that's causing you any great concern. Faith can't mature like that. Faith can only mature when I'm in a season where I've got to make a decision. Do I still want God even if I'm not getting what I want? You see, the reason we want to hear God is not to get something from God, it's to get God. Hearing God is not the end, it's the means to the end. The goal is intimacy with God. The goal is a dynamic relationship with God. It is good to hear his voice because he's good no matter what he says. If you're not hearing God, perhaps his silence is his way of loudly beckoning you to stop listening only for what you want and to start listening for what he wants. To start praying that prayer that I taught you last Sunday. My God, I want to do what you want. God's a good parent, and no good parent ever gives their child everything they ask for. But he will often give us more than we thought to ask for. And it's just that it usually takes time to realize that his answer was actually the best answer. And that leads us to the last, and I think maybe the hardest question, and that is this: am I willing to listen for as long as it takes? Last time we saw, James said that we should be slow to speak. You need to understand, sometimes God is slow to speak. And people of faith, like we've talked about, don't interpret delays as denials. They just decide, I'm going to wait. A book that we're going to be jumping into in our next series, the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The prophet says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. God will delay what he has to say if it is for our good, even though it doesn't feel good in the season of waiting. Why would he do that? One reason might be that he knows you're not able to hear what he has to say at this particular moment. During the Last Supper with the disciples, Jesus says to the disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you can't bear it at this time. Is it possible that God has a really strong word he's going to give you in the future, but right now, you're just not strong enough to hear it from him? Another reason might be that God will delay if later is actually better. I think about the story of Mary and Martha sending word to Jesus that their brother, Lazarus, was sick. He was close to death. And they heard nothing back from Jesus. Jesus made them wait. In fact, he made them wait so long, Lazarus, their brother, dies. But then Jesus arrives, and he brings Lazarus back to life from the grave. And God received a whole boatload more of glory than he would have if he would have immediately healed Lazarus when they requested. So is it okay with you if God gives you the answer that's going to bring him the most glory? Even if that answer requires, you're going to have to wait a while. And sometimes God waits to send a word so that he can do a work in us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 4, patience produces character, and character produces hope. And there is no way to develop patience except having to wait. Now, is it okay to be in a season where you're with somebody that you love, with somebody that you know, by the way, that loves you, even if you can't hear them right? I want you to remember something. Hearing nothing does not mean nothing is happening. Let me tell you how I know that. Remember that psalm? We alluded to this earlier, Psalm 22. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Does that sound familiar? In just a few weeks, we're going to celebrate the Passion of Jesus. Hundreds of millions of Christians all around this planet are going to worship Jesus for going to a cross and taking on him what he wasn't do for you and me. Do you understand? Our salvation is due to the fact that Jesus held on to the goodness of God when he couldn't hear the voice of God. When all he got from God was silence, he held on to the God that he knew and he trusted. Even though he couldn't hear anything, that didn't mean nothing was happening. Something was happening. He couldn't hear it, but the veil in the temple was being torn in two. He couldn't hear it, but earthquakes were taking place and dead people started walking around the city of Jerusalem. He couldn't hear it, but as that sky got dark, God's wrath was being satisfied. God's mercy was being released, and he couldn't hear it, but there were demons that were trembling because they understood the fear of death was getting put to death. He couldn't hear it, but God was up to something. So when you hear nothing, you need to understand that God is always up to something. Dallas Willard, again, who lost his own mother when he was young, tells a story of a little boy and his mother died. Sometimes as a little boy, he would come into his father's room at night and he would say, "Daddy, I'm scared. Can I sleep with you?" And his father would say, "Yes, come on." But it would be dark and he couldn't see. And he would say, "Daddy, is your face turned toward me?" And the father would say, "Yes, my face is turned toward you, son." And the little boy could go to sleep. When you cannot hear his voice, you need to trust his face. He's gazing at you with love. And someday, God will speak, and everyone is going to hear it. He's going to get the last word, and you and I believe it's going to be the best word. So would you pray with me? Stand up. God, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. And today, We specifically thank you that you don't speak all the time. And so especially for those right now that are not hearing your voice, help them to trust your face. Help us, God, to hang on to your goodness when it feels like everything else is letting go, just like Jesus did. And we pray this in his name. Amen.